Some mountains in your life. You're not serious. How many of you have some mountains in your life? How many of you know that God can bring you over those mountains? I've had some mountains in my life. God has brought me over. He's seen me through. Some things I want to give to you right here at the beginning, I want you to take note of them physically or mentally. I'm going to give you number one, and then I'll give you number two, then I'll give you number 1A, then I'll give you number 2A, then I'll give you number 3. Are you with me so far? I'm going to give you that little caveat so that you don't think I'm going out of order, I'm losing my mind, I know what I'm doing. You just follow me, stay in line, don't go to sleep, I'll call you out this last 5 weeks, people have been sleeping on instructors, and they were caught out, and some of them had to do push-ups in front of the class. We may have to get to that point. No, just joking. So it is a little hot in here. Dress for comfort at this point, as we say in the military. So if you need to take off your jacket, you can. It's okay to take off your jacket. If you need a fan, you can do that. You make yourself a little hotter. That's cool, too. But just be comfortable. If everyone could just stand up with me, I'm standing already. If you could just stand up wherever you are. And just stretch your hands out or up. Out or up. If you got a yawn, go ahead and do it now. If you want to laugh or smile, do it now. All right. 10, 09, 08, 07, 06, 05, 04, 03, 02, 01. Done. You may have a seat. He is considered the most powerful African-American in Congress today, House Majority Whip James E. Clyburn. His plan, known as the 10-20-30, allocates 10%, how much? 10%. Of funding from any given federal program to counties where 20%, how much? Of the population has lived below poverty for 30 years. How many years?
30 years
or more. Hence the 10-20-30. But my question is, as I hear this, Shaq, as I look over this, I begin to wonder, Trevisia, what in the world is going on? There are counties in America today where for the last 30 years, 20% of the people have been struggling to survive. As I looked up just the statistics here in New York, some of those counties are here in New York as well, where we have 20% of the people struggling to survive. Looking back, this didn't happen overnight. It was a series of events that are still affecting people to this very day. Although slavery has started and ended hundreds of years ago, the effects are still felt and still linger on. It's like knocking down one domino, as you see behind me, and then you're watching as every other domino falls until the last domino has fell. I remember watching videos on YouTube, and they would set up rooms as big as this one or even bigger with dominoes. And you can watch it for 10 minutes as every single domino begins to fall. But that first domino affected the last domino. In every domino in between. One event can definitely affect another. Clyburn and some other candidates feel it's time to help those who fell way after the first domino. One thing can lead to another. Pray with me as we talk about a chain reaction. Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before you. To stand before your people. Humbly, I take this task and I pray that you would use me
Amen.
What is the title of today's sermon? A chain reaction. A chain reaction. One thing can lead to another, even if it wasn't meant to be that way. Ask Jesus. Jesus was traveling across the lake inside of a boat this time. You may have recorded one time he decided to go without a boat. He just walked across. But this time he's inside of a boat. And when his feet plant on the shore on the other side of the lake, he is greeted by an unexpected welcome party, all encompassing of one. Some others may have said he didn't expect to see. There's no TMZ cameras, no Hollywood red carpet. There's no concierge taking Jesus' luggage. There's no welcome sign, no Hawaiian leis, or no surprise party. Instead, Jesus is greeted by an unexpected man from the cemetery. Say cemetery. But guess what? He's not the gravekeeper, but he's been living among the dead. Cast out from society, blocked by friend requests, disowned from family members, cut off from church, and now he's hurt, broken, and, should I say, all alone. But that's not the end of his sorrows. You see, he's been chained, and on several occasions he's been chained, and each time he snapped the chains as if they were twigs around him. It was a chain reaction of events that landed him here in this cemetery. Imagine in your mind, what could have led him to this point in life? Take a moment and think of what could have led someone to be living in a cemetery and not being the gravekeeper. This isn't where he wanted to be. It was a chain reaction of events that landed him here in this cemetery. Africans didn't start in America, but this is where African Americans are today. This isn't where this cemetery man started off, but this is where he ended up. This may not be where you started off, but this is where you ended up. This would be a chained man has spent his days and nights howling like a wolf, cutting himself like a maniac. And although this chainless man has, he still has chains that can hold him and still chain him mentally and spiritually by his situation. A chain reaction has led him here, I should say. How many times have a series of events, a chain reaction that led you to a place where you didn't want to go? So number one, as you're writing these things down, number one, your situation can take you to places you don't expect to go. Number one, your situation can take you to places you don't expect to go. This man didn't expect to end or come to this point in life where he's living in a cemetery. And as you recall and look back over your life, you may not have expected to be in the Bronx. You may not have expected to be in Victory this long. You thought you would have been gone long ago, but you're still here. You may not have expected to have children or be married or have so many children. You may have expected your pay to be different or your spouse to be different, but don't tell them. But you just may have had some expectations, but these expectations didn't happen. You may have expected to be married, but it didn't happen. Pregnant, but it didn't happen. Sometimes your situation can take you to places you don't expect to go. A chain reaction because he's not just living in a cemetery. He's not just formally in chains. He's not just howling. He's not just cutting himself. He's not just cast out from society. He has not one, but all of these things simultaneously happening in his life. Imagine his pain. Imagine his hurt. And on top of all these unfortunate situations, he's also possessed by evil spirits. When Jesus does a head count, he discovers that there are many, many, many evil spirits inside this one man. This one chainless man is chained by a lot of problems in his life.
You see, you may not have any physical chains on you, but you may have problems that have chained you to certain situations. A chain reaction that has turned him into something he didn't want to be. Listen, he's homeless, often in chains, banned from society. He's suicidal, screaming all the time. I probably named a lot of your friends and family members by now. But on top of that, he's possessed by evil spirits. I'm sure none of this was in his 5 to 10 year high school plan. How many times have you had a series of events, a chain reaction, turn you into a different person that you didn't expect to be? Number two, your situation can turn you into a person you didn't expect to be. Number two, I'll give it to you again. Your situation can turn you into a person you didn't expect to be. How many of you believe that to be true? You may be placed in a job and you get that boss that you never expected to have. And then all of a sudden you're an angry person. You're a mad person, a frowning person all the time, a person you didn't expect to be. Because a situation happened and it turned you into a person you just didn't know was inside of you. If you find yourself in a series of chain reactions like this cemetery man, you too will need to find someone who can help you undo what has already been done. You too, I suggest, need Jesus. You too need Jesus. I know that because I need Jesus as well. Thankfully, Jesus was traveling that day. I don't think he was on Delta or on Spirit Airlines. I don't think he was on Carnival or Princess traveling the seas, but he was just in a little boat. And thankfully, Jesus in this boat came to the other side of the lake. Thankfully, he saw something, or rather someone he didn't expect to see. And when Jesus is talking to this chainless cemetery man, Jesus liberates this man from his troubles, as you remember the story. He liberates him from this troublesome situation, and he began the healing the man needed, sending the problem-causing evil spirits into pigs, as you recall. This man has already experienced his fair share of chain reactions in a negative way, as you think about all the things that have happened. And then all of a sudden, 1A happens. Number 1A, when Jesus enters his life, Jesus gives him back the ability to go to new places. You see, he's been bound to this one little cemetery. He's been cast out of society, cast out of the towns, and now he's just stuck. Some of you may feel like you're just stuck in this situation. You're stuck in this place, and you can't go anywhere. But what I'm telling you and suggesting to you today is that you just need that one person. You just need Jesus to come into your life to help take off some of those situational boundaries. You need Jesus to come into your life to help free you and liberate you to allow you to go to places that you couldn't go before. He's no longer confined to the cemetery, no longer confined to the outer limits of town, no longer blocked by friends, no longer blocked by family members, no longer blocked by Facebook and by fellowship. Jesus coming into his life starts a chain reaction, a new chain reaction. The herdsmen of the pigs, they ran and told everyone they could that there's something, no, rather someone they have to see. And this chain reaction now begins to spread because then another unexpected event happened again in the same day. First, Jesus stepped out of the boat and the man saw Jesus and he ran to Jesus. And now we have herdsmen running to go tell other people. And then the other people began to run as well, and they began to run toward Jesus. And they ran. Next, the people ran to see the new man and to see Jesus. The new man was no longer cutting himself. Can you imagine? No longer howling. Can you imagine? No longer half naked. Can you imagine? No longer in need of chains. Can you imagine? No longer outside of his mind. Can you imagine? No longer possessed. Can you imagine? No longer chained mentally and spiritually. Can you imagine? why? 2A is why. Number 2A, when Jesus entered his life, Jesus made him a new person no one expected him to be. Don't you just love Jesus? He comes in and he changes the situation. He changes who you are, changes how you look. And when people see you, they don't even recognize you anymore. Say, man, I thought that person was always mean and angry, always yelling and cussing and doing all these things. But when people see you now, you look good. You look beautiful. And they don't even recognize you anymore. Now, some of my friends, they call me and they like to go back over my past. And I like to try to direct them to my future. And they keep going me to my past. And they say, oh, I remember when and what you used to do. But I'm like, oh, we're talking about right now, though. This is Albert right now. We're not talking about Albert back then. Because somebody has come into my life and made me a new person. And so I don't do the things that I used to do. So when Jesus entered my life, he made me a new person no one expected me to be. If I can just pause for a moment, they didn't expect me to make it out of Pittsburgh. They didn't expect me to do much after high school, if I finished high school. They didn't expect me to go to Oakwood. They didn't expect me to finish Oakwood. They didn't expect me to go to the Navy. They didn't expect me to finish the Navy. They didn't expect me to be a pastor. They didn't expect me to do the things that Jesus allowed me to do by this chain reaction in my life. And so when people look at you with Jesus in your life, if he's not already there, they will see a new you, a better you. Remember that old series? When Jesus entered his life, Jesus made him a new person no one expected him to be. If you want to be a new person, I think that you should contact this one person who changed this man's life, who can still change your life. If the truth be told, everyone doesn't like this new series of chain reactions. Think about it. When you change, you lose some family members, some friends, some co-workers. Oh, you can't go here with us anymore? No, I can't. Can you grab a drink with us? No, I can't. Can you smoke with us? No, I can't. Can you do this with us? No, I can't. I don't do those things anymore. And so, some people are rubbed the wrong way. You don't use the language that you used to use. You don't maybe dress the way you used to dress. But Jesus changes us. And when he does this, a series of chain reactions for the good now begin to happen. But some people don't like it. And you're right, Frank. That's all right. If you didn't know, you now will be warned. Everyone isn't going to celebrate your success. Don't expect a congratulations card from everybody. Don't expect gifts and money from everybody when you do good and when you do what's right. Don't expect them to throw you a big party. I have some people that I know that are upset because they don't get parties for their birthday. And they're older than me. And they've never had a party. So they say, but they're upset that people aren't celebrating them when they do good things. They're upset that people don't just come in and say, oh, great job. I want to let you know, if you don't know, people aren't going to always clap for you. They're not going to stand at attention for you. They're not going to just love on you. You got to know those things so that you're not hurt and fall back to the old you. Some of y'all don't believe me. Some of you think it's all about you. It's not all about you. It's all about Jesus and the new person that he's making you to be, so you can't expect those celebrations from everybody. So everyone isn't going to celebrate your success. Honestly, this positive chain reaction Jesus sets off, it just rubs these people the wrong way and they can't handle it. Some people who should be excited and should be celebrating the ex-cemetery man are openly afraid and disappointed. Now the question is, what are they afraid of? What are they disappointed in? He's not cutting himself. He's not half naked or naked all the way. He is clothed. He is sane. He's talking properly. He's not trying to hurt anybody. He's not trying to start any fights. He's not trying to steal anything. He is a good, upstanding citizen, a law-abiding citizen, and they're afraid and they're disappointed that he's not the person that he used to be. Isn't that something? Isn't that crazy? People are disappointed when you move up in life, or when you begin to succeed, when you begin to have new things or better things because of Jesus, a better you. I'm not talking about material things. I'm just talking about mentally and spiritually. These people are disappointed, and they began to tell others what Jesus has done, causing an unnecessary uproar. They're not telling it in a good way. They're telling it in the bad way. They're saying, do you know this Jesus came and changed this man? Can you believe it? He was there all alone, and we were happy with him being out there all alone, but Jesus made it so that he can come back to them, and they're mad. Jesus liberated him, and he can now come back. He can run to be the mayor of the town, but they don't want him back. But they were so upset with him that they cast him out. So is it, do they want him out or do they want him in? People will be disappointed with you. People won't like the new you. They won't like this chain reaction, this happening for the good in your life. So they're unhappy that this man is back in his right mind, peacefully sitting and fully clothed. And believe it or not, this healing set off a chain reaction of good for one person and a chain reaction of fear and bad for other people. The crowd who came to see the healed man and the destroyed pigs became so distraught that they began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Right there in Mark chapter 5. They were pleading with Jesus to leave them alone, to go away. Think about that. Think about that. Think about it. People are actually requesting for Jesus to leave. They're requesting for Jesus to get away from them. That's crazy. I'm no prophet, but I think they're setting themselves up for a terrible chain reaction in their future. And if they don't have to take my word for it, they can just believe the old cemetery man, the ex-cemetery man. He could tell them that their actions are going to lead them to places that they don't want to go and to people that they don't want to be. Yep, this same man that was cutting himself, howling like an animal, living in the cemetery. They can ask the man who they kicked out of town by them. They could ask him what their actions will be like. The same man could tell them that they're setting themselves up for a chain reaction they don't want. Which leads me to number three. Number three, don't follow the crowd. Create your own crowd. Number three again, don't follow the crowd, create your own crowd. Don't follow the crowd, create your own crowd. Verse 18, as Jesus was getting in the boat, the man who had been possessed begged Jesus to go with him. Remember, there was others that were begging Jesus to leave, but this one man is begging Jesus to go with him. The crowd is leaving. They were pleading for that one person they all needed to stay to actually leave, which was Jesus. They're pleading for Jesus to go, but they all needed him. You can tell it by their actions. And so Jesus is leaving as they requested. Jesus didn't need to follow the crowd himself. He didn't need to beg for their attention or for their affection. Instead, he left. He honored their request. Because Jesus doesn't need to follow a crowd. Getting back into that same boat that he used to cross the lake to bring the healing, Jesus enters the boat to take the healing to those who want it. As Jesus is leaving, there's one person who also decided he didn't want to go with the crowd. He didn't want to follow the crowd. This man decided not to follow the crowd that day. It is hard not to follow the crowd sometimes because it seems like everyone is doing it, so it must be okay. The man Jesus healed decided not to follow the crowd, but to follow Christ. You don't have to follow the crowd. You can follow Christ. He begged Jesus to get in the boat with him. But Jesus gives him a new mission. Jesus commissioned the man to start a new chain reaction all by himself. Jesus can do this because at this point, Jesus has already come into his life and changed him. And now Jesus is commissioning him to start a new chain reaction all by himself. He experienced a fresh chain reaction when Jesus stepped off the boat and stepped into his life. And so Jesus commands him in verse 19, go and tell your family what happened and what the Lord has done. Gladly, the man accepts the challenge, going to the pit stop after pit stop along the way, telling everyone in the surrounding 10 towns, the Bible says, what Jesus did for him. And he did this all because of the chain reaction Jesus started in his life. And he did this all before reaching home. He could have just went home. And Jesus tells him to go home. But he said, on my way home, I'm going to tell everyone what Jesus did. Jesus said to go to your family, right? And tell them what the Lord has done. And Jesus says, the man says, well, as I'm going to my family, I have so much good news to share. I don't need to follow the crowd. I'm going to go and tell everyone. And he goes to these 10 towns, and this man creates his own crowd. He didn't have to follow the crowd that didn't want Jesus. He creates his own crowd by doing good. You don't have to follow the crowd. You can create your own crowd. Number three again, don't follow the crowd. Create your own crowd. And as this man did this, as he went back and began to tell everyone this message, people were amazed and they began to follow him. They wanted to know more. Going back to our house, to our congressman at the beginning, Clyburn. Amid the renewed debate about how to atone for slavery and centuries of systematic racism, Clyburn has embraced the rebranding of his program. So his program had started during Barack Obama's presidency, but then recently some of these candidates, presidential candidates and other congressmen, they have decided to adapt his program to help it for reparations. Clyburn wanted his program to kind of be for blacks, but then for everyone as well, but now the candidates say, we want to take that program and help give reparations to those who were enslaved for so many years. Not that those people could actually receive it, but those descendants of those people. And so this system that he has created, he says that these reparations should be systematic. Why? Because he wants it to be benefiting to communities inhabited by those who have been neglected. He's looking at all the dominoes in between. Even if that includes white Americans, someone asked. He said it's not just about black people, but it is also about black people. Clyburn proposed that his 10-20-30 formula following the Great Recession as a way to include historically neglected communities. Clyburn said that he was wary of history repeating itself. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, if you remember, Roosevelt had this New Deal to help the country recover from the Great Depression, not recession, that had largely neglected poor African American communities. This is what Clyburn said. He said, the New Deal was a raw deal for many of the communities I represent. He said, citing that in the 1939, the construction of two lakes to dam Santee River and generate electricity. White landowners were compensated for their flooded farmland, but he said the black sharecroppers were forced to leave their homes and communities with little to no compensation. The grave of his wife's grandmother now rests at the bottom of one of those lakes they made. And in the Jim Crow South, jobs created under this New Deal were invariably went to whites, he said. The white folks benefited and black folks did not. We got the crumbs. Clyburn said, how do you make up for all that stuff? To make sure these communities left out of the last recovery from the Great Depression don't get left out in this one. In other words, let's have a fresh start, a new start, a chain reaction for the benefit of those who have been hurting because of a bad series of events. Thinking of the man in this cemetery, he had a bad series of events, and he's there all alone, and Jesus steps in and changes everything with one chain reaction. Interestingly enough, Jesus went to the other side of the lake. He had a huge encounter with one man, and then Jesus got back in the boat. He went to the other side of the lake, had a huge encounter with one man, and then he got back in the boat. He went to the other side of the lake, had an encounter with one man. This one man is not the only person on the other side of the lake. Remember, the crowd is there, but they don't want to hear him. Had this one encounter with this one man, sets off a chain reaction for the good, and then he gets back in the boat. It seems to me as if Jesus came to heal this one man, giving him a fresh new start. And let this one man take this new chain reaction of good to the other towns. Thankfully, Jesus was traveling in a boat. Thankfully, Jesus came to this side of the lake. Thankfully, he saw something, or rather, someone he didn't expect to see. Or maybe it was all part of his master plan to set a chain reaction for those who have been hurting. Remembering, number one, your situation can take you to places you don't expect to go. Number two, your situation can turn you into a person you didn't expect to be. And remembering, when Jesus enters your life, Jesus can give you back the ability to go to new places. Remembering, when Jesus entered his life, in your life, he can make you into a new person that no one expected you to be. And last but not least, don't follow the crowd, create your own crowd. My last question for you today: will you let Jesus start a chain reaction for good through you? He went all the way to the other side of the lake and just affected one person and let that one person loose to affect towns. Through Jesus being in this one man's life, it had a chain reaction. And now watch one good thing lead to another. If you let Jesus into your life today, you can watch one good thing lead to another. God bless you. At this time, as we think and meditate on the sermon, I want to give you the lyrics to our closing song. We're not going to sing it, but I'm going to read them to you. It's a wonderful song. And I want you to think about these lyrics. You can even close your eyes. A change has come over me, reflecting on your life and on this man's life and on the lives that you're going to impact. A change has come over me. He changed my life and now I'm free. He washed away all my sins and he made me whole. He washed me white as snow. He changed my life complete, and now I sit at his feet to do what must be done. I'll work and work until he comes. A wonderful change has come over me. A wonderful change has come over me. Lord, you've changed. Change. You've changed my life complete. Changed. And now I sit changed. I sit at my Savior's feet. I'm so glad you changed me. Dear God, I just thank you for this opportunity to be an agent of change here. And as they're reflecting, those who want you to step into their life like you stepped off the boat and stepped into this man's life, God. If they want that change to happen, God, I'm praying that they would just lift their hands, showing you, God, that they want this change to happen. This chain reaction that will spark a change in them. God, as they're lifting their hands, you see their hands, God, all over the room, all over the place, even those watching online who's saying, I would like a chain reaction to happen for good in my life. I've been having so many negative chain reactions. But today, I want Jesus. I want a positive chain reaction from here on out. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for change and for the change reaction. All my sins.